Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission, starting with the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond. They have decided to create a running commentary upon every single chapter, episode by episode, until the entire story is covered. After this, they plan upon moving onto its sequels, Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars and Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, before turning their attention to other serials made in the same era. Hello and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon, Chapter 7, Shattering Doom.
Hello and welcome to our Flash Gordon podcast, Space Soldiers. This is Episode 7, Shattering Doom. Hello, Martin.
Hello, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Are you gripped? Are you waiting to see Buster in his leather pants?
Always. Always ready for that. I do worry about the audience of 1936 who wouldn't have seen much of this stuff sort of going on. I feel like I can imagine women being carried out in stretchers and fainting all over the place, and men.
I think more of this was going on than we actually give time credit for.
Do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think
where?
I'm probably around the piano in the living room of most of
I don't think so. What, in leather?
I think all those people you see in the old footage walking very quickly for some 16 frames a second reason, they've all got their leather pants on under their suits. That's what I think.
You think the leather pants thing's always been going on? This is a revelation.
I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah, maybe I will go back to the 30s when I
can. I feel that Space Soldiers is basically what happens when you take the suit off. Everybody's got these leather nappies on underneath. In all that old, whenever you see an old film now, you're gonna think, oh, leather nappies. I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. I love how you think I'm only thinking that now and haven't been thinking that previously.
I'm one of life's innocents, you know.
Clearly. Although you're the one who's claiming this 1930s past that I just
it's
had
just
not
was
thought
a revelation,
of.
And obviously I met my grandparents.
Wow. I don't think I want to hear about that.
No, neither did I.
It's far too early on a Saturday morning. Right. So.
That's what the. Yeah, never mind.
If you're playing along at home, you know the drill by now. After 5, I will hit play and we will watch episode 7. Sorry, chapter 7. It's very definitely chapters, of course.
Chapters,
it is.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Very, very so, literary. Very literary yes, thing going on.
Darling. So, after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go.
It's those space soldiers again.
Mm-hmm.
With their horny ways.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, this is the whole new world and the writhing folk.
The writhing girls.
It was funny, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he had actually gone to an exhibition of Flash Gordon comic strips when he was abroad at some point.
Okay.
And he was in Europe, and I was surprised it was actually in a European place. You know, I thought you might see it in America, but apparently it was actually there was a comics exhibition that showed some of the old Flash Gordon strips. And he was very keen to see Flash Gordon strips. And talking of Flash Gordon strips...
Yeah, exactly, we're getting there. I thought you were going to say he went for an exhibition of writhing girls for a minute.
We have...
Chapter 7, yeah. Shattering Doom.
Scarcely
had the rocket ship. Oh, do you want to do it? Go for it.
No. It's just.
Oh, scarcely had the rocket ship landed in the Sky City when Flash, Baron Zarkov, and Aurora were taken prisoners by King Vulcan, who promptly put Zarkov to work in his laboratory. While Flash and Baron were compelled to join Thun, feeding radium to the atom furnaces. Gosh, there's a lot here. Furnaces. Princess Aurora, determined to wed Flash, deceives Dale into believing that Flash's life depends upon her giving him. And professing to love King Vulcan. Heartbroken, Dale consents Vulcan to test Dale and prove she no longer cares for Flash. Leads her to the static room where... Dun, gosh, dun, you don't have long.
Oh, the flying sky. You see, it's always... Have you noticed, though, the culture of the 30s is it's always about weddings. It's always about weddings.
I know, because that's all women are for.
There was no nookie before wedding going on in the 30s.
No.
Except that's why they had the leather trousers.
That's a big door, isn't it? I don't remember.
It should have taken some shifting.
The homoerotic Dungeon of Doom.
You need actually a hunky bloke just to open the door on Mongo, don't you?
That's what they should keep him for. I don't really understand what's going on with the sparks, other than to shower sparks over his naked torso.
Indeed. It just looks good, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks effective. He's being tortured. And I suppose you can't actually show real torture, so this gives you an idea of torture.
I think it's pretty close to real torture.
old one-eyed Vulton is giving a bit of... He keeps winking at him. Oh, she's fainted.
Please, let's not talk about one eye in this scenario.
Fair point. Well, we might see it later.
Well, with these shorts.
So anyway, Vulton's now got Dale all fainted. Hey, blimey, there. Watch your hands, man. But he's handed her to an underling. A winged underling.
I love the wings.
Dale away.
The wings are so good. They're much better than Nativity at school, aren't they? Angel wings.
Meanwhile, determined to wed Aura is holding everybody at gunpoint. No?
She's got good hair. You wouldn't cross her, would you? You really wouldn't cross her.
I've worked with someone who looked a bit like her. She's quite frankly terrifying.
She'd have your eye out as well.
Yes, actually. I never got that close. Now, you see, that angle makes it look like Flash has actually been dropped in a cauldron of fizzy things, but he's actually behind
it,
isn't he?
Yeah, bless him.
I do love the look of these things, though.
I know, it looks astonishing.
This sort of retro electronic-y thing is gorgeous. I suppose it's all... What's that material they were made out of? Shellac or something? What was it?
Oh, is it? Okay.
No, I don't know. What's that material that they used to...
Sorry, I was looking at Flash's chest.
There we go. And that strange hand that's in his armpit. Yes.
Yes.
I can't remember. The stuff that was not plastic, but it was before plastic. You know. Never mind. Anyway, Zarkov's typing.
It's fast typing as well, I feel.
Yes.
It's not two-finger typing. He can touch type. Zarkov can touch type.
And he's
Who
making
knew?
A ball float in the air.
Oh, look at that. That's cute. A little ping-pong ball. Or is it a golf ball?
Floaty thing.
It's good. Whatever it is, we like it. Well done.
We don't know what that's going to do, but I imagine that's going to help keep the city floating later.
Oh, when they turn off the atom furnaces.
Yeah, it's a demonstration of how you see. Zarkov, being brilliant, has said, well, I can do it with this ping pong ball. Let's try the whole city. Someone's put Flash's shirt on while they carried him out.
Which is a relief.
Oh, and there's a great, brilliant glass cylinder thing going on.
Yeah, which looks a bit like the little...
Give him an MRI.
vehicles they use later, yeah. Oh, it does look a bit like... It is made of an MRI. Now, keep very still, Flash, as you go through this.
I suspect that's what they call an iron lung. Well, there's... Oh, no, it's got flashing lights. Oh, hey. Now, this is proper neon tubing stuff. This is.
Can you imagine these effects? 1936, you'd be like, oh, my Christ, that's amazing.
That is amazing. I would like one of those. If I had a spare room, I would like one of those in my spare room. I think you could sleep in one of those. I think it'd be brilliant.
I love how they're going to... recover Flash by putting him under more lights, but in a just in tubes rather than
less sparky lights. Yes. Meanwhile, back in Vulton HQ.
Yes.
Oh, they've given her a new dress. This is the sign of luxury. You say, look at me, I'm looking after you. I bought you a second frock.
Exactly. That's all women can ask for in 1936. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, she thinks he's dead.
Yeah,
which is hilarious, apparently.
I was reading a review of this series and saying, oh, they didn't like Dale very much, but then they got rid of her for another actress for series two. And I'm like, no, they didn't. They just dyed her hair.
Well, for some people, that makes them a completely different person.
Exactly.
You have to actually, it's like, you know, these people have these relationships where their wife comes home or their girlfriend comes home and they've changed their hair colour and they just think it's a completely different person.
I don't know what that says about that marriage, but there we go.
There's probably books about that. What was it? Oliver Sacks probably wrote a book. The man who mistook his wife for somebody else because she had a different hair colour.
Yeah, a different haircut that he finally noticed. Yes.
You never noticed me. You never noticed me.
Martin, you are beautiful.
Well, that's possibly not the first time that's been said to me. Anyway, here we go. So we're getting a bit not bedroom action. This is
pardon?
In front of throne action and he's taking her to his handy bench.
I think he's being nice now. No, it's a nice little sort of lover's bench, isn't it? It's sort of like you get in an art gallery. What's he showing her now?
Lots
this is another pet.
Oh, we're getting the shadow play wooing technique.
Oh, how funny that this is included. How sweet.
But it's not a dog because it's whatever the Mongo equivalent of a dog is, because that must be a Schnagburger or something.
A Schnagburger dog, it is, with four horns. It's a very accurate representation.
That's not a kangaroo. So basically, you could do any shape at all because we really don't know what the flora and fauna of Mongo actually is. You know,
this is such a sweet scene, though, isn't it? Why would you include this? It's lovely.
He's trying to be impressive, isn't he? He is trying to woo her. Meanwhile, Aura is looking flies straight in the ghoulies as they pull him out of the tube. He's looking bewildered. Oh, I thought they was moving in for a bit of a snog there, him and Zarkov.
I'm quite envious of Flash's hair. I do like it. Mm. It's good.
It's very sculptured, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, do we think this is something to do with the blonde rinse? You know, you actually had to put a permanent... It's a Marcel wave or something.
It is something. He's probably Brill Cream or whatever was popular at the time.
Anyway, he's had a rough day. We haven't had a fight yet in this episode, so...
I think Flash has been very lazy in this episode, and he needs to up his game.
Now, I'm still fantasising about getting some sweatshirts printed with big star symbols on the front for whenever we finally get to do our photo shoot.
I'm buying one, definitely.
I feel that we should pose in black sweatshirts with a big star on the front.
And short shorts, Martin. There's no getting away from it.
Well, I'm hoping we were going to take the picture from the waist up, quite frankly. Mind you, you're about 18 feet taller than me, so maybe that...
my shorts will show. It'll be fine.
This is actually a quite romantic episode for being called Shattering
Now, Dreams. But honestly, she could teach some drag queen something with those eyebrows. They're so high up. Mm. Her eyebrows are definitely concealed, and she's got higher up eyebrows. She was a RuPaul's Drag Race girl before RuPaul was even dreamt of.
If she tucks her ears back, do you think she might actually be Mr. Spock's sister?
Easily. Mother, probably, though.
Mm. Oh, mother. Oh, fair enough.
Oh, no, I don't know.
They're very long-lived, these Vulcans.
Yes. What's happening now? Has she betrayed someone or something?
She seems to have got some sort of welding kit.
Yeah.
So this is possibly a minimum version.
Oh, God!
I think she's going to cut off his ghoulies. Look down and, like, that's quite a bit close to my ghoulies.
She's actually going to attack him with a flame. She's mental. She's a mentalist. She's like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Well, I suspect...
Now, did you see her top come off then? Her top actually came off. Wow. And they had to... luckily, it just... Well, it didn't.
Shot was over, yes.
Yes, yeah. But her top came off in passion there.
Passionate thrust of the boobage.
Yes. So all the you can rewind, all you people listening at home.
She is a father's daughter, though. I think this is the thing. I think there's a definite bipolar thing going on. Meanwhile, Flash has now gone and is threatening Vulton with a big sword, with a big spear, which he finds hilarious.
To the metal nipple. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, spear fight. I knew we hadn't had a fight for quite a while. Do you think the kids in the cinema, they were just waiting for Flash to have a fight? Oh, he's throwing a stool at them. the old spear in the wall that was really there all along trick.
I don't know what you're saying, Martin. I believe that was thrown.
he's gone to the wall. The wall.
Now, don't go to that wall, because that wall has got the bear behind it.
And he's got a bear behind.
It's quite cuddly. Oh, what was that? No.
There's a lot of heaving chestage going on with Dale today.
She's not wearing a bra.
She is not. And this, again, being the 1930s, is very surprising. Oh, stop doing your Nazi salutes to Zarkov, of all people, please.
Well, this is quite prescient, though, isn't it? Were they doing Nazi salutes in 36? They would have been, wouldn't they, by then?
But Zarkov when has was a the, coil when was of the, wire that looks
when was
very
the beer
important.
Hall putsch? When was the beer hall putsch? Was that 34?
Yeah, must have been around then. Yeah.
Anyhow,
we're back in the old
baby oil territory
with the sweaty men, and there's Baron in the background with his big pants, and there's old Thun turning the dial to open the door and close the door and open the door and close the door. Zarkov's bought his useful piece of wire.
Yeah, I like to think that Baron was asked for his size and he said a small size and then had to say relent and say, no, actually, I do need a big pair. I'm never going to fit into those Flash shorts.
The costume fitting didn't take long today, did it? You only took three measurements.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, we're back by the big clock.
Yes.
It's funny. The look of this is very much like the Romulans in early Star Trek.
I noticed. Yeah.
There's that sort of that feather effect top. I almost think that maybe some of the props were left over and sort of got bought up by Desilu when they made early Trek. I think, because actually, when you think about it, when they're trying to make a weekly science fiction series, there wouldn't be that much sort of stuff off the peg they could get. And a lot of it does seem very familiar from later.
But it would have to survive 30 years, though, wouldn't it? I suppose that's true. Things from Doctor Who survive 30 years. They use
some costume stuff might.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, some flying dots.
Oh, yes.
Some flying dots.
They're nice.
And that man's looking anywhere but the flying dots. Oh, there we go. Oh, it's a whole fleet.
Them.
Whole fleet. I'd still like to think that these starships are actually preserved somewhere. You know, there are some.
Well, there's one in your cupboard. There's one in your cupboard, isn't there?
Yes, that's not a real one, though. Is it? I like to think that, because I'd like to know how big the models actually were. They look like they're about sort of 18-inch models, but that might be a bit much for the time, and they may be a lot smaller. But they
She's
just
angry.
Look gorgeous. I want one. I want someone to send me one. Anyway, she's back in her top now.
She's repaired her top.
And gone to see Vulton.
And honestly,
different angle on the furnace room. That whippy guy needs to get his, doesn't he?
Honestly, he really does. I would throw him in the furnace, no questions asked. I do like how Zarkov's got the run of the place and can go anywhere, fiddle with anything, do anything.
Because he is a scientist.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about your Quatermass when he goes, I am a scientist, if that means anything to you. Like, it gives him some authority in some way, you know, which nowadays would give him no authority whatsoever. Oh, so the spade wall. They have a wall to hide behind. This actually makes me think of Genesis of the Daleks, weirdly.
Totally Genesis of the Daleks, Kal-Ed City vibe. Now, Sarah just needs to turn up and just start a revolt. A very plucky
country.
Young girl.
So basically, what you're saying is Sarah Jane is Flash.
Effectively, in this scene, yes. And here's Zarkov. He's going to come and get electrocuted on the side of the rocket.
Sneaking through his door.
Yes.
Now, have you noticed that the guards, the whippy men, they seem to have a bit of the old Ian McCulloch eyeshadow going on?
I loved Zarkov's little run then. Wasn't it cute?
Oh.
He's useless at being secretive there.
He's a spy! The script stuff on this thing is always incredibly difficult to play, but you know they absolutely give it their all. They are committed to what they're doing here. You know.
They are,
but the two horny hat men.
They're like your granddad and your uncle, aren't they? They're useless.
I must admit, I mean, nowadays, let's face it, if you had people who were playing the guard role, or indeed playing the prisoner role in this, they'd have done 6 months in the gym and be sculpted. Gods,
yes,
you know.
Totally.
And this bunch looks like they've just walked off
and out of an American diner,
or
a milk bar.
More truthful, you know. Probably more truthful.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's face it. I think, you know, when the revolution comes or whatever, when people are setting up their monstrous societies, it's ordinary blokes that are doing the nasty stuff. Quite frankly.
Yes.
So
that's a nicely crafted shot, isn't it, with Aura and Dale at the side of the throne.
Yeah. One on each side of him.
Oh, I like Ming's fur.
Ming's turned up in his Henry VIII look again.
Yeah.
Sorry, the Earl of somewhere. The Earl of Mungo.
Yes. Who's his second in the gold?
Makes me think of Jacob Rees-Mogg. Sorry.
Yes. Who's his second in the gold sort of lame?
I think that's still
headpiece?
Torch.
Is it?
I think it's still Torch. Yeah.
He's angry.
I'm on the credits. I need to have a scene, says Ming.
Yes, it's about time I had a big scene and I want a close-up.
So I'm going to confront Vulton, and this is why all these people, the whippy men, remember, will become allies later.
Oh, is that what happens?
Well, because we become allies with the Hawkmen because we're against Ming, you see.
Of course we are.
So all these various areas that he goes to and falls out with and has a big fight with everybody, they all end up being jolly good chums, you know.
Now, the thing about Vulton is he actually... All along, he feels like he's a good'un, even though he's been a bit of a wrong, and it's very much like the Vultan in the 1980 film.
Oh, yeah. He's proper avuncular.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Oh, wait, that caught Baron's bottom then, didn't it? Did you see? Right. He was like, wow, that I didn't expect it to be that hard.
And have you noticed that the only ones who sort of seem reasonably well built are our heroes and the actual scrawny men who were the low. You'd think after all that shoveling, they'd actually be a bit fitter than they.
They were, didn't they? Unless they've been doing it for so long that they just become weeds.
But that again brings back sort of the imagery of the sort of terrible things that happened in the sort of.
I know, I thought that earlier, but I didn't want to bring it up. No. Yeah.
Well, you know what you know what I mean then.
I do, actually, exactly. Yeah.
And of course, horrible. Again, very much a foretelling. Spade in the furnace. Oh, explosion! And that was it. Blimey.
Wow.
That was a sudden ending.
It was,
basically,
wasn't
he threw
it?
His spade in the furnace, and there was a massive explosion. And will Flash survive?
I know. Well, probably. But.
Oh, you've got so much faith in him, haven't you?
I do. Well, he survived the sparky homoerotic dungeon, so I think he's going to be okay. But I'm not so sure about the emaciated fellow
prisoners.
Furnace feeders.
The fellow furnace feeders.
That's hard to say.
So we'll be offering a competition later.
So anyone who can say it fast, 10 times. So I must just say, in this book, honestly, they're obsessed with Aura's boobs in this book by Kinnard, Kunkovich and Vitone. There's a picture that illustrates Chapter 7, and it says, "The abundantly endowed Princess Aura." And I'm like, really? Come on, guys. It's a bit much. Anyway.
It was interesting, I think, because even as late as the late 1960s, or I mean, I say as late as, that doesn't even feel late anymore. But when they were casting the final season of The Avengers and they had Mother's assistant Rhonda, the only reason she walked in and everybody noticed her because she was a massively boobed woman, which is how she got the part, apparently.
But she was incredibly tall as well, wasn't she?
Yes. But she drew attention to herself.
Yeah.
And they cast her sort of on the spot. And you kind of think, nothing really changed in those 40 years, did it?
No. I mean, thankfully, things have changed since. But yes, absolutely. So we will be back with you again next Saturday for Chapter 8, Tournament of Death. It's not the tournament you're thinking of. There's not going to be a big disc with spikes in it coming up. It's not that tournament that you're all expecting.
Is it going to be like sort of bullfighting? There'll be a little sort of red flag and a, no. What sort of
know.
Tournament is it going? Or is it going to be sort of like gladiators?
I actually don't remember, but I just feel like because we're in Vulcan
City. It'll come as big as a surprise to us. It does to everybody listening at home. That's the way
yes.
we like it.
And thank you for listening at home. We appreciate your ears and indeed your comments on the Twitter. So I have been Andy.
And I've been Martin. You take care.
Bye.
Da, 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 da. Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.
That was quite a lot in there. I quite like that.